Welcome into Hate the Player, Not the Game. I am Lucas Owens. It is October 15th, and welcome into what I will be calling the Back in My Fields episode. Why do we go through life if the San Francisco Giants are just gonna score six runs over the last four games, you know? Yeah, what an amazing series, but what a letdown. Terrible last call spoiled what was just a fantastic series. Can't remember the last time a series was that hyped and actually lived up to the hype. But wow. But got a lot to talk about today. Going to go through some college football recaps and previews. Then after that, let's go into Stealing Signs. Championship Series Edition is going to be recapping the Division Series, going into the Championship Series. And then finally, we'll finish things off with Math with 6, Survivor 41. Still think it's very stupid that they're just calling it that this season, but it is what it is. Okay, so let's get straight into college football recaps. I can talk about this now because, of course, I'm done calling it, but Missouri played North Texas in the homecoming game. 48-35 was the final score. So North Texas dropped to 1-4, and Mizzou improved to 3-3. So, of course, Tyler Beatty had a big game. Connor Bazelak did, it wasn't his best game. They pretty much just relied on Beatty. Outside of that, what a bad performance. Was not the best performance from Mizzou you've ever seen. Just the defense in the second half kept letting North Texas have these huge plays, and North Texas was taking advantage of it. I mean, you can't really say anything else about it. Mizzou came on strong and then let off the gas in the second half, and North Texas took advantage, and North Texas made it, a 13-point game still at the end, but at one point it was 41-14, and it became a 48-35 game. So, that says a lot, especially when the last two touchdowns of the day for North Texas came on a 52-yard pass and a 77-yard pass. And North Texas, even though they did not control time of possession and lost the game by 13, they outgained Mizzou 493 yards to 474. Most of those on the back of Austin Ani, 305 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. But, what I think this really shows is the defensive line problems, especially with tackling, are a lot bigger than I think a lot of people think, because Ani was sitting behind a CUSA front line, and a CUSA front line that isn't even that good for the CUSA, and he just had all of the time in the world, and that cannot happen when it's an SEC opponent versus a low-level CUSA opponent. CUSA, they've kind of fallen off the last few years. CUSA, I would say, is the worst conference in FBS. They're still FBS schools. You still have to respect them. But when Missouri has this much firepower and on defense has that much talent, they cannot be giving up that many yards to a quarterback who really didn't even start that often for North Texas. So hopefully that will be a wake-up call. Of course, Mizzou is going to be playing Texas A&M tomorrow. I have to see how that one goes. That should be a fairly, Texas A&M is favored. We'll just have to see what happens in the first few minutes. I think what happens at the beginning of the game will set the tone for the rest of the day. But let's go back to the rest of college football. Cincinnati beat Temple 52-3. This is what Cincinnati's just going to keep doing. Cincinnati knows that if they're going to get respect, they're going to need to dominate the teams that mar the rest of their schedule like this. They're going to have to show that they're this far above the American Athletic. And you look at the rest of their games. I mean, UCF this week, which I'll talk about. Navy, Tulane, Tulsa, USF, SMU, ECU. Outside of SMU, they need to destroy the teams in those games. If Cincinnati is as good as they are supposed to be, they need to destroy those teams. Desmond Ridder, man, he has been turning into a real talent with Fickell there. And, I mean, it's honestly not that surprising, but still. Yeah, the one thing I would consider is Cincinnati, relatively here, of course, because they still were up 17-0 by the 9-minute mark in the second quarter, but relatively slow start to the offense. They did have a very good third quarter that propelled them to this victory, scored 28 points in that third quarter. So, yeah, I mean, Temple has honestly been pretty mediocre in the American Athletic this year, which is better than I thought they'd be. They beat Akron, they beat Wagner, they beat Memphis. They could end up in bowl position. And that's surprising to me because I thought they were going to have a very bad season. So good on them. Good on the Owls. So Texas A&M played Alabama. Texas A&M beat Alabama 41-38. So, man, this game, I think Texas A&M found their quarterback. I kept saying over and over again, the reason Texas A&M was struggling was just there was nothing really going on there in terms of their quarterback situation. And Zach Calzada looks like the man. 285 yards, 3 touchdowns. So let's have that one interception. But what a performance by Calzada on a very big stage. Bryce Young, for his credit, did have a very good game as well. 369 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. But really what this comes down to is Texas A&M just kind of put it on Alabama quick. And Alabama is not used to coming from behind. And it showed. I mean, they're still a very good, they still came back, but they didn't, start winning as much as people expected them to, you know what I mean? So, very interesting game there, very interesting game there. Okay, we got Iowa and Penn State. So, this game, this is something that I hate when it happens. Iowa wins 23-20, and we'll never really know what this game would have looked like because of Sean Clifford's injury. Sean Clifford doesn't get injured. I think Penn State wins this game. And just the fact just that he didn't really throw Penn State off a cliff. Because, yeah, I mean, just not having him in there. Sean Clifford is just such a reliable quarterback this year for Penn State. I think when you're looking at Penn State season, you got to understand that he went down in that second half. Because outside of that, Penn State is just an absolutely electric, amazing team. Okay, the last game I'll talk about before heading to break. Boise State against BYU. So, this is a game I'm going to look really, really stupid for. Because I remember proclaiming last week something attuned to BYU has nobody left on their schedule and is going to be able to run the table and at least finish in the top 6 this year. And I think it's pretty clear that that didn't happen. man. Boise State, to their credit, Boise State played a fantastic game. Went into Provo, went into a packed house in Provo. This is a pretty big rivalry. And they just put it on BYU. Hink Backmeyer had a pretty good game. The defense had a fantastic game. 4 turnovers. Just outstanding from them. But yeah, I mean, you can't really say much else. BYU just kind of came up short. And what I thought was a season that was going to be a far above expectations is now going to be a season that pretty much adheres to expectations, if I'm going to be honest. It's just one that, yeah, kind of got away. I mean, when you're a team like BYU with their schedule, they could have gone into the playoffs if they won out, and they won out dominantly, like Cincinnati needs to do. But they're not going to be able to prove that at all anymore because, of course, they have that one loss. And if you're a team like with the schedule that BYU has, you cannot survive that one loss. If you're a team with an ACC schedule or a Pac-12 schedule, you cannot survive a one loss. Pretty much the only conferences you can survive a loss in right now are the Big Ten, the SEC, and maybe the Big 12 if your name is Oklahoma. But outside of that, just doesn't really happen. Okay, that is all I have for college football recaps. After the break, going to be looking into some previews over the next week of action on the college gridiron. Thank you for listening to KCOU 88.1 FM.
So I'm a cat.
We're at KCOU FM Columbia.
Welcome back to Hate the Player, Not the Game. It is 4:21 p.m. on a very, very breezy Friday afternoon. A lot breezier than I thought it would be. And I think that's because I have the fan on and just realized it. But outside, also breezy, trust me. But we got a fantastic week of college football ahead of us. Starting tonight, we got some West Coast action, both in the Mountain West and the Pac-12 to talk about. So Cal is visiting Autzen Stadium in Eugene, Oregon. And I hate to do this again to Oregon because, of course, you know how it ended last game. But I think Oregon's going to be fine in this game. They're back at Autzen. They're not going to be able to be upset because, you know, they are just got upset. They're going to need to hold on to that one. I'm picking Oregon. San Diego State, San Jose State. This is homecoming for San Jose State tonight. San Diego State, very, very solid team this year, especially on defense. For the Mountain West, they have a fantastic defense. Nick Starkle, does he actually start to turn things around, is I think is the question. He had a fantastic 2020, not the best 2021 so far, to be honest. But I think he definitely can this season. Will this be the game? I'm not so sure about that. I'm gonna have to go with San Diego State there. UCF Cincinnati, this is an interesting one because Cincinnati is going to be the clear favorite to win, obviously. But by how much? And that's what really matters to Cincinnati right now. Cincinnati needs to destroy teams. Just absolutely destroy teams. So I think they get the win. Does UCF and Gus Malzahn keep it close? I'm not sure. Dylan Gabriel is not playing, so been injured. So I definitely, it's a big factor in this one. I mean, if Cincinnati loses this one, just call it quits. But yeah, they're not going to lose that game. Michigan State at Indiana. Michigan State slightly favored in this one. People still are respecting the Hoosiers, and I think they are right to, because I think the doom and gloom about Indiana at the beginning of the season was very much hyperbolic after that 34-6 loss to Iowa. Because at that point, nobody knew Iowa was this destructive monster that people do now. However, let me say this. People didn't expect a lot out of Michigan State either. And Michigan State, especially Kenneth Walker III, you do not stop that offense. Maybe Iowa can. Maybe Ohio State. Maybe Michigan can. Penn State, too, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, Michigan State, they're coming back to become the real deal again. So I'm taking Michigan State. Will I pick chalk in this matchup? The answer is yes. Oklahoma State is visiting the great state of Texas in a matchup that Texas is actually slightly favored in. So Texas, of course, coming off a big loss. Do they have the hangover from it? I think they don't, but I don't think that matters. Oklahoma State just has the resume this year. They're 5-0, obviously, and they're coming off two big wins over Kansas State and Baylor. Oklahoma State, you just can't discount them until they lose, I feel like. I mean, Spencer Sanders, maybe not the best quarterback. Don't really have the greatest rushing, but the defense is all that really matters for Oklahoma State. So, are they going to keep getting it done on the defensive side of the ball? I think they are. So, I'm going to say Oklahoma. Auburn, Arkansas. This is a game that I'm not picking chalk. Arkansas, I think they're going to lose to Auburn here. And here's why. Auburn has finally gotten Bo Nix to be the quarterback they need him to be. You saw that against Penn State. You saw that against LSU. You just don't really want to say anything about it. Of course, they're coming off of a huge loss to Georgia. No else lost by a lot to Georgia, Arkansas. So, I'm gonna go with Auburn here. I think Brian Harsin and the Auburn Tigers get this one done. Okay, so Florida is visiting LSU. Talk about expectations thrown to the wayside in these two teams, man. LSU just not having it this season. Florida, I think, is better than 20th. Of course, in retrospect, that loss to Kentucky makes a lot of sense. Kentucky is a very, very good team. Kentucky, I think, is clear number two in the SEC East this season, obviously, because they beat Florida, and they're probably not going to beat Georgia. More on that later. But, yeah, LSU is just a downward spiral. I think this is going to be the last season of Coach O for numerous reasons, a fair amount not relating to football. But, yeah, I'm going with Florida in that one. Kentucky at Georgia. So, this game is interesting just because nobody thought it would be anything close. And I think Kentucky might put up a fight, but Georgia is by far the best team in the nation so far this year. So, I feel like it'd be wrong to pick against them. Purdue at Iowa, again, just go with the destructor. And that's what they've been all year. So, moving on. NC State at Boston College. This one, I think, is going to be one of the best ACC games this regular season. Boston College, of course, had that loss to Clemson. That hurts, especially because Clemson's not very good this year. NC State, they have the win against Clemson. They have the loss to Mississippi State. What I ultimately think gets it done is I think Boston College just has a better defense than a lot of other teams in the ACC. So for that reason, and basically that reason alone, I'm going with Boston College. Okay, final game to wrap things up. Arizona State at Utah. This game, they're not even trying to project this one. It's even. It's even. So Utah, for the doom and gloom that surrounded them after they lost to BYU and then lost to San Diego State, they've been playing good. They beat Washington State. They beat USC. This is going to be a fantastic game. This game basically is going to decide the Pac-12 South. If it doesn't, I will be shocked. But, ASU, I think, just has more talent. They just have more talent on the offensive side of the ball, and I think they will stay atop the Pac-12 South after this game. However, that is all I have for college football previews. Make sure to tune in next week just to hear how wrong I was. And trust me, I will be wrong. Thank you for listening. After the break, let's go into some fantastic ceiling signs and a memoriam on the San Francisco Giants 2021 season. Thank you for listening to Hate the Player, Not the Game. KCOU. Welcome back. I am, as always, and forever will be, Lucas Owens. So, let's get into some ceiling signs. Know this was coming. Know this was coming. And, man, what an absolutely amazing NLDS against the Giants and the Dodgers. All you could hope for, really. 107 wins versus 106 wins. Dodgers go to the wild card game, walk off the Cardinals. Giants win game one, Dodgers win game two, Giants win game three, Dodgers win game four, sets everything up for game five. Dodgers go with an opener, but really Urias. Giants go with Logan Webb, who has been by far their best starter in the second half. And it just comes down to outlasting the other team. And that is what the Dodgers did against the Giants in this series. Man, what a fantastic series. But I mean, just the way it ended, the Wilmer Flores check swing that wasn't a check swing, just absolutely atrocious. I mean, of course the odds are stacked against Wilmer Flores getting a hit there. Okay, it's Max Scherzer. There's two outs. Yes, 0-2 count. Runner on first base. The Giants need a run. Of course, more likely than not, Wilmer Flores is just going to ground out or strike out. But to take the bat out of his hands like that by calling that just absolutely atrocious check swing strike three call, it's infuriating. It's what it is. And it's infuriating for so many reasons. Of course, as a fan of the San Francisco Giants growing up, I'm going to be a little biased here. But Gabe Morales, in making that call, proved beyond a shadow of the doubt that there needs to be a few things done for MLB when it comes to umpires. Because the umpires, I mean, if you actually look at the data, they're getting better. But there's been outliers in terms of these umps. And Gabe Morales is definitely one of them where they just are not reading the game right and calling bad strike zones. They're inserting themselves into positions that the umpire should not have a play in. It's the ump. It's the old phrase. It's not the ump show. But man, I mean, it's just so maddening, because now instead of remembering it for being Dodgers Giants amazing series, Dodgers barely outlast the Giants in a historic NL West fight, it's gonna be Wilmer Flores didn't swing, and that's how the series is going to be remembered. But I mean, it's just going to last so long. But there are still games going on, believe it or not. The Boston Red Sox and the Houston Astros are going to be playing an ALCS Game 1 tonight in just about 2 hours and 20 minutes. So this series is an interesting one, just because, I mean, narratives, of course, you could debunk. Gameplay-wise, this is going to be great. I would have gone heavy Astros if Lance McCullers was not off the postseason, not off the NLCS roster. I think that is terribly destructive to the Houston Astros. But what I think this series is going to be is, you know, I could see this going six, but I mean, you just gotta trust the Houston Astros in this one. Houston Astros are going to win this series, and I mean, there's just so many reasons. That lineup, though, you just can't stop that lineup. The pitching's going to be an issue for both sides. However, I think the Astros, just top to bottom, you look at their lineup, they are so consistent. They all hit well. They all take advantage of man-made parks, weird dimensions, especially towards left field. So, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, not much else to talk about. The Los Angeles Dodgers are playing the Atlanta Braves in the National League Championship Series. And I hate to say it because this really could have been fantastic.
What's he gonna chase?
I don't trust the Braves. I mean, crazier things have happened. It's the baseball postseason.
Oh, got it.
Things can go a crazy number of ways. However,
never halfway.
I mean, you just can't bet against the Dodgers after that series against the Giants. They are going to be getting that desperate little bit of rest that they need. And they're going to be playing tomorrow, of course, late at night. They are going to be playing in Atlanta. They are likely going to be starting either Max Scherzer or really the next in line is Julio Urias. I mean, but that's not Walker Buehler, I mean, but that's not happening. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I truly don't know what's going to happen in that series. But, I mean, I just, you can't bet against the Dodgers, against the Braves. I mean, the Braves are just simply outmatched. I watched every inning of the games they played against the Brewers, and I still really don't know how the Braves won outside of just having the better pitching. I mean, if the pitching does come through, pitching puts through a historic performance, they'll win. They'll win, surely. But, yeah, I mean, just all odds are against them in this series is the best way to describe it. What does that mean? I really don't know. I really don't know what that means to the Braves. Braves, I mean, it's seven games. They can do it. It could happen. I'd give it about a third, which in baseball is basically, like, pretty low. Baseball postseason. Anyway. So, let's go on to math with six. So, I don't start being in my feelings again about the San Francisco Giants. What an amazing season. Just what an amazing season. So, Survivor 41, this episode was actually probably my favorite of the year. I'm favorite of the season so far, easily. Favorite in a few seasons, I would say, personally. Just because it was just basic. And it was just all about the social game, which I personally love. But when you don't get hampered down by all of these advantages and going basically just through the rules constantly and being gameplay robots, and you actually get to know these people and know how they're making these decisions, that's really where Survivor as a whole really, really stands out. So, yeah, I mean, moment of the episode, I would say, is going to be the Blue Tribe Luvu winning despite half of their team trying to throw. I think that's hilarious. Nasir just absolutely dominated in this challenge, just took over and basically dragged that team to victory. Voting out JD, though, this is a decision that I have a hard time with, just because I think it is very short-sighted. Because basically what it comes down to is this. You either get the seal vote, which sure, maybe if you're looking long game, maybe at final six, that would be better than having JD there. But you know what's better than having one vote, or basically one and a half, because you get to steal somebody else's? Just having a reliable vote. And that's not going to be basically the alternative that they chose instead of JD, which was Sheeny. I just don't really trust. I don't really trust that decision to pay off in the end. I know I'm going to be proven wrong. I'm still just going to say it. Even if it works out, it was not a good decision in my mind. That's really what it comes down to. Wow, for once, Hate the Player, Not the Game has finished way ahead of schedule. Wow. Going to be able to enjoy Friday. Be maybe a little bit happier. Just remember to be happy. Don't let things get you down. I've been down all day about the San Francisco Giants and losing that game the way they lost that game. But, man, life goes on. It's a baseball game. Life's too short to really, really be in feelings that much about a baseball game. So, thank you for listening to Hate the Player, Not the Game. As always, I've been Lucas Owens. Make sure to tune in next week to see how much of a gigantic moron I will have been about my picks and see why UCF is going to